Daf Samech Hey. So we got to the very, very last line of Samech Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara had been talking about the din of a Ger Toshav being like a goy or not like a goy. So the very last line, the last five words on the page is Rav Yehuda Shader Le Kurbana, Lashon of a Karban Matana. Rav Yehuda sent a gift over Le'abidrana, and Rashi says he was ashamed of Ovi Kochavim, a particular non-Jew, a particular idol worshipper, B'yom Idam, on the day of his holiday. So Amar Yadana Bey, he explained, Rav Yehuda said, I know this individual, the lo palach lavodas kochavim, he doesn't worship avodah zarah, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of sending gifts to a guy on the day of his yantif. So Amar Le Rav Yosef says, Vatani, but the Braisa tells us, Ezu Gertoshav, who's considered Gertoshav, only kol shekibo lav bifnei shlosha chaverim shlolavod avodas kochavim. Only if a person had a formal Kabbalah, that he's not going to worship avodah zarah anymore. But this particular person, Avidra, even though you know he doesn't worship avodah zarah, there is never a formal Kabbalah, he's not considered Ger Toshav. He's Bechlal the status of a guy, in which case you cannot send any karbanos, any matanos to him, biyom idam. So the Gemara explains, Kitanya ahi lachayoso. This requirement of a Kabbalah of a Ger Toshav is only with respect to lachayoso, in terms of keeping him alive. But with respect to the Isser of sending matanos biyom idam, that applies to any non-Jew if we know he doesn't keep avodah zarah. He doesn't need to have a Kabbalah. To send the gift to a non-Jew on the day of the holiday, all we have to do is know if he keeps avodah zarah or doesn't keep avodah zarah. With respect to lachayoso, with respect to keeping him alive, that's when you need a formal Kabbalah of a Ger Toshav. There's an interesting machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, the definition of a Ger Toshav. So according to the Rambam, he holds the din of lachayos of a Ger Toshav is only with respect to... do you guys want to go to Rav Weinberger's office?
Can I?
Yeah, go for it, yeah. The din of lachayos with respect to a Ger Toshav is with respect, the Kesem Mishnah says, according to the Rambam, it means a din of tzedakah. You have to keep them alive and provide them whatever he needs, of food and water and shelter. The Ramban argues and says the din of lachayoso is with respect to simply pikuach nefesh, saving him. But there is no mitzvah, according to the Ramban, of giving him money and food and shelter. It's just keeping him alive. It's a din of pikuach nefesh. But the Rambam takes it further. And again, the Rambam, according to the Kesem Mishnah, says, no, you have to give him the food and drink, not only to save him, but lachayoso, to put him on his feet, to give him whatever he needs, just like a din. There's a din of tzedakah, even when it comes to a ger toshav. Now, Tosos asked a couple of days ago, we saw Tosos, he said, how is it permitted for Abidrana to send a matana to a goy? We have a din, it's a Mefurish Mishnah, there's an Issa to send it. How could he be Oker the Gzeir? Granted, the Tom doesn't apply to this particular goy because he doesn't keep a Avodah Zarah. But still, there's a Gzeir, a little plug. You can't start saying this one, yes, this one, not. So Tosus says it must have been when they made the initial takana of the Isser to send matanos biyom idam, it was only for those who actually kept avodah zarah. Those who don't keep avodah zarah are not bechlal the gzera. I mean, it wasn't a gzera against all non-Jews, it was a gzera against the ovdei avodah zarah, but anyone who wasn't an ovdei avodah zarah was not bechlal the Isser. And then the Gemara says, five lines down now, V'hama rabba bar barchana rabbi Yochanan, Ger Toshav, Shavro Lav Yud Beis Chodesh, a Ger Toshav, who 12 months passed below Mal, he didn't receive a Mila, Harehu Kimin Shibov de Kochavim. So a Ger Toshav who doesn't receive a Mila is not going to have a dinner of a Ger Toshav, he's called a Goy. So how come we have this definition, a Ger Toshav is all simply based on a Kabbalah, Shelo Lavod of Odezara? He also needs a Mila. Gemara says, no, Hasam Kigon Shekiba Lav Lamul V'lo Mal. Meaning what? A regular Ger Toshav, all he needs is a Kabbalah, he's not going to do Avodah Zarah. This particular example is where the Ger Toshav says he's going to take it a step further. I'm going to receive a Mila also. And then, once he made such a nether and didn't keep that nether, so then that particular individual has a din of a min. And he's like an Ovid Kochavim. But a Stam Ger Toshav, a regular Ger Toshav, all he needs is a Kabbalah in front of three that he's not going to keep Avodah Zarah. The Gemara now says, around eight lines down, Rava, Amtulei Karbana Lebar Shishach Biyom Edom. He sent a gift to an individual whose name was Bar Shishach on the day of his Edom. So we're going to see in a second who Bar Shishach was, what the Shaychus is. But Biyom Edom, Amar Yadana Be Delo Palach Lavodot Chachavim. Rabbi says, I know him well, and Bar Shishach doesn't keep a Vodah Zarah, so you're allowed to send gifts to him on the day of their holiday. So Azul Ashichei the Yosef Ad Savare Bivarda. He saw that Bar Shishach was sitting. He was sitting deep in a bath of roses. It seems the Kaiman Zonos Arumos Kamei and Zonos who were not dressed were standing around him. And Amar Lei, he says, Bar Shishach says to Rava, Islachu kiagavne la'alma da'asi. You have such a wonderful thing, such pleasure in the world to come. Now there's a lot of shilas here. You know, obviously if this was really taking place, I can't imagine Rava walked in here. So I don't know, I didn't see him ask the question. It certainly would be awesome to walk into such a place. But that wasn't, I didn't see anyone ask the question, but let's just take it at very, very face value. That so this was the situation. He was sitting in a bed of roses or a bath of roses, and there were women standing all around him. So Amar Lei, so I guess he asks him, Islachu kiai gavne la'alma da'asi, do you have such a hana in Olam Haba? Amar Lei, didan adifa tfei mehai. Rava says, our Olam Haba is much greater than this. So Amar Lei, tfei mehai mehava, is there such a thing better than this, what I'm experiencing right now? Amar Lei, so Rava says to him, atun ika alaychu emasa demachusa. You, right now, even though you might be enjoying the moment, you still have the fear of the emas hamelach, you're scared of the king. Onan, when we're up in Shemaim in Olam Haba, lo teve alan emas al demalchus, so we're not going to be experiencing the aim of malchus. So right now, at this point, it sounds like the hana of Olam Haba is going to be equal to this point. He's not saying the hana is different; it's just that they don't have the added factor of the emas hamelach. So I don't know what to make of this. I really didn't see anyone who addressed this conversation. It sounds like a very deep conversation of what Olam Haba is going to be like. But Amar Lei, ana mia my emas al demalchus ikalai. So Bar Shishach, who is sitting in this bath of roses, he said, what type of fear of the king? I'm not scared of the king. Ad Yasveh, when they were sitting and talking, having this dialogue, Asahahu Prisatka Demalka. One of the messengers of the king came, and Amar Lei says to Bar Shishach, Kum Dikabailach Malka. Come out of this place right now, the king needs you immediately. Kinafik Va'alzil. So when he stepped out of this bath of roses, Amar Lei, he said, Eina debay lemechsei lechu bishusa, tifka. He says, the eyes of, he was talking to himself, Bar Shishach, the eyes, they wanted to see bishusa, something bad about you. He had this ayin hara. Bar Shishach wanted something bad to happen to Rava, ended up something bad happening to him, that he was removed from this place with the emes hamelach, tifka, let these eyes be poked out. That's what Bar Shishach said about himself. Amar Lei, Rava, Amen, he said Amen to the curse of Bar Shishach about himself, and Pakeena, the Bar Shishach, and the eyes of Bar Shishach popped out. So the Ben Yoyada points out that this individual, Bar Shishach, actually came, he was a Gilgal of a Bilam of some sort. He had that same Ayin Hara of Bilam, and he said, how do we know this? Because Chazal tell us that Ayin Hara was something that went particularly to Bava. Bava was an area that inherited the Koach of Ayin Hara. So Bar Shishach, Shishash in Atbash is Bavel. So Bar Shishach is Bar Bavel. He was a Babylonian. He had that Koach of Ayin Hara. He came from Bilam, and that's why he was trying to attack him with an Ayin Hara. But of course, it didn't work. In the end of the day, his eyes were the ones that popped out. So the Gemara then says, parenthetically, Amar Papa, Ibai Leila Meimrelei, what Rava should have really said to Bar Shishach was, Mehai Kra. He says, "Benos Malachim Bikurasecha Nitzva Shagal Limenecha Bekesim Ofir." That the daughters of the king, in other words, princes, are going to be standing around us. That's what, as opposed to Bar Shishach was experiencing regular women standing around him. In Olam Haba, it's going to be compared to princesses standing around us. It's greater than what he's experiencing right now. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ibar Le Lameimra Le Mahachi Shiv brought the different pasuk to say how great Olam Haba is. Ayn la rasa l'kim zulasecha yasa l'machka lo. No one ever saw what Olam Haba is going to be like. It's so great that no one could imagine the type of hana we're going to be enjoying of the Ziva Shechina in Olam Haba. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Scharo lasos imo malacha acharis. Let's say a person, a Jew, is hired to do a particular malacha, and then along with that malacha, he says, Kari ma yai nesach, the schar is mutter. I mean, you can't be hired in particular to do malacha with yai nesach, that'd be aser, that hana, that schar would be aser. But if you're hired to do whatever works around the house, it happens to be there's some yai nesach that needs to be transported, that type of schar is mutter. And the Gemara points out, Afa gav, even though the employer, the non-Jewish employer, delo amarle le tusei erev, even though he didn't say this do at nighttime, he says it do it during the work day, you're still allowed to get hana. Meaning what? If you said it to do it after your work day, I'm going to pay you for, 8 hours of work today, and before you go home at 6 o'clock when your work day is over, schlep the yai nesach for me, that's vade mutter, because you're getting paid for what you worked during the daytime. The yai nesach was just a tova, a favor you're doing for me. There was no schar part of that yai nesach. But the Gemara says, even if he doesn't say, wait till the evening, even if he says, do the work and carry the Yai Nesach during your work day, meaning you're going to be carrying Yai Nesach during your work and being paid for it, that is still permitted. So if you just, he said, fine, let's go weiter. So the Gemara says, or Mini, is that really true? You're allowed to carry Yai Nesach, you're allowed to do work for the Yai Nesach during your workday and being paid for it? Hasoch has a poel, a person who hires a worker. He says, in the evening, after your work here is done, I want you to do a tova for me. That won't be pechlal the schar. Amrlei says, hever chavish shayai nesach mimakom lemakom. I want you to schlep the yai nesach from my house to the backyard or something before you go home. After the rest of the work is over, scharu is mutter. The schar is mutter in that case. So the Gemara is medayik. Time madamrlei li tusei erev, only because he says, after, when the evening comes, when your work day is over, when you're being paid for all your work, do me a tova afterwards, is it permitted? But in, that's when it's permitted, but kula yoma lo, but during the day, when you're actually working for me and you're being paid for your work, then you can transport the Yai Nesach. But our mission implied that you are allowed to transport the Yai Nesach during the work day. So the Gemara says, Amar Baye, kitna nami masnisin d'amar li tusei erev, tanan. Granted, our Mishnah also says Abayi is when he said he asked to transport the Yai Nesach only after the evening came, after his work day was over. But if he asked to do work of Yai Nesach during the day when he's being paid, that wouldn't be allowed. You can't be paid for your work of Yai Nesach. So Gemara says, now Rava argues. Rava says a different explanation. Rav Amar Lo Kasher, there is no stira. Damrlei hever li mea chavios b'mea prutos. One, the case where he says transport 100 barrels for 100 prutos, one pruta per barrel. Ha damrlei hever li chavis per pruta. One is where he says a chavis per pruta, chavis per pruta. So one is where he has a whole sum of the chavios for the whole sum of money, and one is one for one. So what's the difference? Let's just finish the brisa, which reiterates this point here. V'hatanya b'nichus, Rashi says, as a raya, that there's a difference between 100 and 100 versus 1-1. Hasoch has a poel, one who hires a worker, v'amr lo heverli mea chavios, v'mea prutos, transport 100 barrels for a total of 100 prutos. V'nim tez chavish al yai nesach b'neim. And there is yai nesach, one of the barrels is the yai nesach, scharo aser, the schar is aser. But if it's chavis, chavis per pruta, one chavis per pruta, v'nim tz chavis shel yai nesach b'neim, schar is mutter. So if you, again, say transport all 100 barrels, and one of them has yai nesach, the entire $100 you're promised is all usher. But if you said to do one for one, so each chavis you do, that's regular yai, not yai nesach, that's permitted each dollar. The dafka, the one yai nesach that has a pruta, that one pruta you take out and throw in the garbage. So again, if it's in the aggregate, so then it's usser. If it's one for one, then it would be mutter, but just throw out one of the barrels, or one of the prutos rather, you could throw out because that was already considered separate from the rest of the money you're being paid for. That's the difference. Okay, the Gemara now says, three wide lines down, quoting again from the Mishnah, Hasoches achamr lehavi aleh yai nesach schara aser. If a person's hired, person rents a donkey to carry yai nesach, so then that schar, the money you get paid, is going to be aser. So the Gemara says, hatulamali, what do you need this for? Hainu reisha, that's exactly what the reisha says. Meaning the reisha said, a person's hired to do work, I'm getting to hold on a second, where's that Mishnah? A person, a poel, hasoch has a poel, the Mishnah says, I'm going back to Samach Beis, if he's hired to do yai nesach, it's aser. So then the Mishnah says, a person who hires a chamor to lahavi ala yai nesach, schar is aser, the schar is aser. It's the same exact thing, a poel versus a chamor, it's just the same different person, one's a worker, one's a donkey, who cares? Both cases, of course, are going to be the same. So what's the chiddush in the sefer with the chamor? So the Gemara says, Seifa itzirichle. It's the Seifa of the Seifa, because the Seifa goes on to say, after saying you can't use a donkey, that schar of hiring a donkey for Yai Nesach is aser, it then says in the Mishnah, schar oleshiv aleh. Let's say you lease a donkey to sit on it, afa pisha niach obed kochavim legino aleh scharo mutter. Even though the guy goes ahead and places the gino, Rashi says a gino, it's referring to like a jug of wine of Yai Nesach in there, even though now you have this donkey and you place the Yai Nesach on it, it will not disqualify the schar. That case is mutter, even though Yai Nesach is being placed on it. That's the chiddush. So the Gemara says, Lememer, is that to say, Dilagin lav dinahu lo seve? Meaning, it sounds like the reason why you could keep the schar when you rent out your donkey, even though the goy is putting the yai nesach on that chamor, it sounds like because the goy doesn't have the right to place his yai nesach on it. He didn't ask permission, and him putting the yai nesach on the back of the donkey was incorrect. He wasn't allowed to do that. It wasn't part of the deal. So is it really true that the Oved Kochavim is not allowed to place his barrel of wine or his jug of wine on the chamor? Rimini. Hasocher es achamor, a person who rents a donkey, socher meniach, the one who's renting it, who's using it, the one who leases it out to use, he's allowed to place his clothing on it. He can place his ginasos, referring to his jug of wine, and mizonos of that particular derech. Rashi says if that derech is 3 days, he's allowed to have 3 days worth even of food. However, the chamor, the one who's leading the donkey, the owner who owns the donkey, he's makiv alava. He's able to makiv alava more than that. Anything more than the derech, he wants to bring 3 weeks of packages, but he's only traveling for 3 days. He could stop anything beyond the traveling days. On the other hand, chamor miniachala, the donkey rider, who's the donkey one who's leading the donkey, the owner of the donkey. He said, what is he allowed to do? He places all the barley and the food needed for that donkey to keep for that one day. He's only allowed to do 1 day's worth of packages for the donkey, but the socher, the non-Jew who's using it, who's riding the donkey, is allowed to bring as much as he wants for that travel. Mikan ve'elach, if he wants to bring, if the chamor, the owner of the donkey, wants to put more food, more than that 1 day, socher maki, beloved, the socher is allowed to say, wait a second, you're taking up my space here, the rest of the chunk is for me, not for you. So so this is the din right now. So what's the question? Here's the Gemara says, so we see from here, the Braisa clearly says that the socher is allowed to put liginasa, he's allowed to place his yayin nesach on the chamor. So if he's allowed to place yayin nesach or his jug of wine on the chamor, so the previous case, then if I, renting out my donkey for the non-Jew to use, and he's allowed to put yayin nesach on the donkey, so I shouldn't be able to accept that schar because he's using that chamor to carry yayin nesach. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Nehi Delagin Dinu Losvi, granted that the socher, the non-Jew, is allowed to place his jug of wine on the chamor, now if he doesn't place on the donkey, is he able to detract some of the schar? I mean, that's not part of the calculation. It wasn't that the schar wasn't for the right to use the back for the jug of wine. Meaning that you pay for the donkey. What you place on is it's a certain right that you have to use the donkey and place your jug of wine on the donkey. But that's not part of the calculation where if I'm not putting my jug of wine on you, owe me some more money for the lease, I want a cheaper lease right now because I'm not using it. That's not part of the calculation. It just comes with the rights of using the chamor. And so therefore, since the jug of wine isn't part of the calculation of the schar that you receive for the chamor is not going to be correlated to the yayin nesach that he places on the back of the chamor. So the Gemara now says, last four lines of the Amud here, Hey Chidami, what's the case here? Just want to know in general right now, Rashi points out, how come the socher is allowed to put as many days of food he wants for himself, as long as he's traveling for, but the chamor, the one who owns a donkey, can only put 1 day at a time, even though he knows they're traveling for 7 days, what's the donkey going to eat on day two, day three, day four? So the Gemara says, Yidishchiach lemizban chamor nami lakif. If there's going to be plenty of places along the way, they're going through many big cities, and the next day you find food. So even the chamor should be able to stop the socher from putting too much packages on the chamor, because tomorrow we're going to be in New York City. There's plenty of food to buy. So even 1 day should be enough for the socher. So the chamor should be me'akiv the socher. Vidalo shchiach lemizvan. If you're going to be going through the desert where you can't find any place to buy food, socher nami lalakiv. The socher should not have the right to stop the chomer from putting on the food, because what's his donkey going to eat the next day? So again, if it's a place where you're going through big cities, you should only have 1 day's worth of packages for both the socher and the chomer. If it's a place where there's no food, so both parties should be able to bring as much as they need. So the Gemara answers, Amra Papa, lo tzich, it's not needed, the shchiach lemitrach, it's a situation where it's shchiach only if you put a little bit of effort. It's not in New York City. You're going through a little village. You have to find where the local business area is. It takes some time. You have to go through the streets. You have to do some handling. So there, what's the difference? A person who owns a donkey, it's his nature. He's a businessman. He could look and buy and sell. So 1 day is enough for him to bring for the donkey. And the next day, he'll go to the local town and find the business center and to make some business. The socher, who's a chasher guy, he doesn't normally go around handling in little villages. He's not his nature to go around and buy and sell. So therefore, we allow him to bring whatever he needs along the way. Okay. Gemara now says, actually, let's do a quick tosos here. Dibur maskel hachi garcina and Rabbeinu Tam. The Brice had said that the socher is allowed to bring kesus, so he can bring his clothing on the donkey with him. So Rabbeinu Tam says, socher miniach ala kesasa. What's kesasa? Milashon keses, a pillow. Below garis kesus, so it's not supposed to say kesus, so it's clothing. The davar pashit, of course he can bring his clothing. V'chi yelich arum, we're going to say he's going to go naked and traveling? Obviously not. Vim tefarish, if you're going to tell me kesuso is shnia sheyeshlo, his second pair of clothing, im ragil lelovshav, he's used to wearing a second pair and switching it, pshita shemotah, that's also obvious. If the guy doesn't wear the same clothing for a week, of course he could bring a second pair of clothing. Vim balahatir, if he's telling me that he's allowed to permit the individual to have a second set of clothing, apapilishena ragil, even though he doesn't normally change his clothing, hayal farish, the Brises should have been very clear about that. It's referring to the pillow, or that person, maybe a small couch, a chair someone might sit on, onosin tachas rosha, below his head, like a pillow, l'mroshosava, the car, as opposed to a car, just telling us definitions, a car is a gadol, sheshochavalev, a car is a mattress, a keses is a pillow. So it's not saying ksuso, it's saying keseso, or kiseso. He's allowed to bring his pillow along with him. The Gemara says the last line of the Amud here, Abu Rav Acha Berei Rav Ika, this individual, have a, it's a little complicated what goes on here, but what he would do is, have a Shafich Lehu Chamra Lov De Kochavim V'Ozim Averlu Me'Avra. He would pour wine for the Ov De Kochavim, and then he would travel with them over the bridge, V'Yav Lehu, and they would give him Gulfa Ba'Agra as part of the Schar. So what went on was, what went on was as follows. Rav Acha was a, he sold wine. So now they used to sell wine in these big barrels, and when you sell the barrels of wine, along with the wine, you sell the barrels too. That came with a package deal. Now what? So now when he sold the wine, the non-Jews own the barrels. But what Racha did was he poured from the barrels into their small jugs. They had little small jugs. He poured them into them, and they were easy to carry over. So he carried, helped them schlep all these jugs now over the river. And when they got there, they said, you know what, as payment, you could keep the barrels that we really bought. You could hold on to the barrels so he could keep the barrels for the next shipment. That was the deal that went on. That's what Rashi explains. So now, the Gemara says, Asa Amri Le Abai. They told Abai what Rav Acha was doing. Amrile, so how could he do this? Isn't he involved in Yain Nesach? Now, again, the barrels of wine he had, but he poured the barrels of wine into their jugs of wine, and their jugs of wine seemingly had Yai Nesach in it, and therefore, since it's owned by the non-Jews now, he's schlepping things that are Yai Nesach. And how is he allowed to get schar, get the barrels for payment of being involved in avoda of Yai Nesach? So the Gemara explains, Abai says back, Amalei kitarach be'atera katarach. When he was involved in this, It was still mutter. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says four narrow lines down. Bedida katarich. No, that's in the line. I wanted. Is it? Yeah. He says shayayin eno nesar achim megila karkal shel zika didhu. So zika shel or golfe shel cheres. Zika is made of skin and golfe is made of cheres. So we see from here that it was. I'm not sure if that's the line I wanted. Is it? We have beheter katarich. So I guess it doesn't become usr until he pours it. So when he's taking the yayin from his barrel and pouring it, it's not yayin nesach at all. It's only yayin nesach once it hits the bottom of the little jugs, their particular canteens that they were carrying around with them. So that's not considered a davar usr yet. But then the Gemara says, "Vaha rotze bikuma." Doesn't he want bikuma even after he poured it in? So now it hits the bottom of their jugs, that becomes usr. But doesn't he want the Yai Nesach to stay? Because the Yai Nesach doesn't stay there. If it ends up cracking, he's not going to get payment for the barrels that he wanted to keep. So he wants Rotz Bekuma. He wants it to stay intact. If Rotz Bekuma of Yai Nesach, it's going to then render the Isser of the Schar, of the barrels, are going to be usr. So Gemara says, again, Vaha Rota Bekuma Delo Nitzare Zike. He wants the barrel, the jugs rather, and the wine to stay intact, so he wouldn't lose out on the payment of the barrel. So Rota Bekuma of Yai Nezach should make the barrels also.
I'm sorry, what's the Matzias in that follow-up?
Yeah. The way it was that Rav Acha sold barrels of wine to these goyim. And now when you sell the wine, the barrels go along with it. So really now at the point of purchase, the goyim own the barrels. Now what he did was, Rav Acha did a tovah for them. He poured them into the various small canteens or jugs of the non-Jews, and he transported with them, he helped transport over the river all those jugs of wine. Now, as a payment, when he got to the other side, they said, you know what, we're going to pay you for the nice thing you did for us. You could keep the barrels as well. In addition to the money they paid for the wine, keep the barrels. We don't need the barrels anymore, and use it for your next shipment. Now, what happened was, the problem is, he said to Abaye, so now when Rav Acha was schlepping over the yain, which is in the jugs of wine, which seemingly had the yain nesach at the bottom already, of these yain nesach, right? They weren't empty. They had their own personal, like 10 different canteens of yain nesach that they carried. They had some wine at the bottom. So when he poured the barrel of wine into the jugs, all that wine now becomes yain nesach. Now when Rav Acha was schlepping over the jugs of wine, it was schlepping over yain nesach. So how could he get paid for schlepping over yain nesach? By being paid from the barrels of wine, that's going to be schar for schlepping yai nesach. So the answer was that it doesn't become usher until it hits the bottom of the jug. Now, we're going to see in just a second, but still, wait a second. If it hits the barrel of the yai nesach, when he schleps it, isn't that yai nesach already? So at this stage, the Gemara is just focused on when he pours in. The moment of pouring, he's being paid for the schar pouring, so when he's leaving the barrel, it's not usher yet. In the Hanami, the jugs become usser, but the pouring itself is not usser. So right now he's being paid for the pouring from the barrel.
Whose wine was it to begin with?
It was Rav Acha's wine at the beginning. So that the Gemara says, so again, so how could he get paid for the Yai Nesach pouring the wine? He doesn't want the Yai Nesach to spill, because if the wine spills, the Yai Nesach spills, he's not going to get his schar of the barrels. So the Gemara says, Demasne Bahadayu, where they made a stipulation and said as follows, that if they break, he won't get paid. That Rashi is demasni ba'dayu di'i nami mitstari zike lo yavlu gufe. And therefore, wait, that would make it more of a problem, no? If they end up breaking, he's not going to give them the barrels. If that's the case, he doesn't really care if they're bikumo, but then he's going to lose out on the money though. Okay, he was getting payment for the look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Haro to bikumo le'acha shenes." So after it becomes usher, he still wants it to be bikumo. Delo nitztaru zike. Rashi says, "Shelo yisbaku hanodo shelahem." He doesn't want their canteens to split. V'yistarchu l'gufe, because then what's going to happen is he's going to need to put the barrels in. V'lo yavle nele. Then they'll need to put the broken canteen and pour them back into the barrels, and the barrels are no longer going to be available for him. So the Gemara says, no, as follows, that they made the Tanai that if their canteens break, they're not going to go after his barrels. The barrels are going to be free, and he'll get them either way. So the Lysa, for him, he didn't really care if the canteens break. They're not going to touch his barrels. His barrels are untouchable. That was the Tanai they made, and he's going to get to keep the barrels either way. Inami, the Gemara says, the Maisi Prizdaki Badayu, they themselves brought backups. When they poured, when Rav Acha poured the barrels of wine into the jugs, so if the jugs broke, they had their own second types of canteen to put in. They would never come to use the barrels of Rav Acha, and therefore he didn't really care if the jug stayed intact or not. So then the Gemara says that all answers the question of when he poured from the barrels into the jugs, it was all behetera katarach. But v'ha kam avra luhu ma'avra, de katarach b'yisura. But wasn't he transporting it? And once he poured the wine from the barrels into the jugs, those jugs are all yai nesach. And then when Rav Acha transported them, isn't he transporting yai nesach? So the Gemara says, no, he himself wasn't actually doing it. Rav Acha d'amrle l'mavruya meikara. He told the head of the port that you be transporting. I'm not going to transport it. You do the transporting. He was just officiating it, but wasn't doing the actual transporting. Or inami, alternatively, he didn't tell anybody, but they understood the nakite bei kitra. The head of the port understood by looking at the different knots that were tied from the non-Jews, he was able to recognize when he should help and when he shouldn't help out. So either Rav Acha was being direct, telling the head of the port, you transport it, or they understood on their own, but either answer, Rav Acha wasn't directly transporting it, and the schar he got for keeping the barrels was only for pouring from the barrels into the jugs for these individuals. Okay, the Gemara, and the new Mishnah tells us now as follows. Yai nesach shenafal gavi anavim. Let's say yai nesach falls on grapes. Yadichan, you're supposed to wash them off. Vein mutaros, and they're mutter. But v'im hayu muvukos asurus. But if they're broken, there's a crack in there. So then the yai nesach is going to go in the grapes. Now the grapes themselves become asur. Look at the Tosas who quote to Yishalmi on the side here. Dira maschal v'im hayu muvukos asurus. If they're broken, if they have cracks, the grapes are aser because there's yai nesach inside the grapes, you can't wash them out anymore. We're talking about grapes that are attached to the tree, to the vines. If you take off the stem, a regular grape that's been plucked off the vine, off the cluster, that's a hole. Once there's that hole, it doesn't talk about a cracked grape, but being a hole where the stem was, that's considered mevukalos according to the Yushalmi. And if yai nesach poured in it, those would be aser. But if they're poured over while it's attached to the tree, to the vine still, all you have to do is spray some water on it, and then that would be considered permitted. It's an interesting discussion. I don't know our timing here right now. Let's go by it, then we'll see afterwards what we're looking with time. The Mishnah says further now, Nafal gavi ha-teinim, let's say yai nesach spills on figs, o gavi tamar more dates. Im yesh ben bunos in tam, if there's some taste, the yain gives some flavor to the figs or to the dates, aser, it's going to be aser. Because no sin tam, if it gets tam kikir, whenever there's tam there, it's kikir, it's like the actual thing, as if you're actually eating or drinking the yai nesach and aser. Umaisa bebetus ben zonin, that was his name, shehevi grogros besvina, he was bringing these dried figs in the boat, v'nishbur chavish a yai nesach, and a barrel of yai nesach broke, v'nafel al gabein, and fell on top of these grogros, v'shal chacham, he asked the shayla v'tum, and he permitted them. So this goes against our Gemara. Mishra just said it's aser, now we're saying it's actually mutter. The Gemara is going to address that. And that's where I was going to answer. Very good. Zaklah, this is the principle. Kol sheb hanasa benosin tam aser. Whenever there is a hana where there's no sin tam, it gives good flavor. So then it's going to be aser. Kol she'ein b'hanasa benosin tam. Whenever there is no sin tam, it doesn't give a good taste. Then it's going to be mutter. It's called nosin tam lefkam. It gives a bad flavor. Kagon chometz shenafal gavi grisin. If a vinegar falls on some grisin, some grits, it's not going to be good tasting. It's going to be lefkam, going to be bad. That actually would, even though the chometz might have came from a yai nesach, it's going to be mutter because it's no sin tam lefgam.
This is arguing on the reisha, because we said before that if it falls on tainim, if it's no sin tam, it's aser. It's maisa, it sounds like.
Exactly. Maisa lister, the Gemara is going. That's the Gemara asks right now. Maisa lister, this is a contradiction. So first we said if it falls on figs and the dates, it's going to be aser. But the maisa says it was mutter. So Gemara says, chasur mechser, that something was missing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah should have read, hachi katani. If no sin tam lefkam, if it gives a bad flavor, who mutter? Who ma'is nami bebetus bent on? Like Andy said, shahaya mevi grogros besvinu is transporting these grogros in the boat. V'nishpura chavish a yai nesach v'nafal gaben v'ba ma'is lefnei chacham v'tirim, because this apparently the yai nesach gave a bad flavor, bad taste to these grogros, and therefore it's going to be mutter if it's case of no sin tam lefkam.
No sin tam lefkam overrides mamashis because there.
So they discuss this point here that it really gets absorbed inside. It gets absorbed. You're not really eating the actual iser. It's balua inside. Yeah. We're going to see in just a moment when it comes to chit and when it comes to wheat, wheat might be more of a problem. So they actually ask a question, what the difference is between wine and grape. Maybe at the end we'll get to it if I remember. So the Gemara now says, Ahu kari dechiti, there is a pile of wheat. Dinafil alech avisa di'ay nesach. And a barrel of wine spilled onto the chita. Sharia Raval Lizvune Lovdi Kochavim. He permitted them to sell it to the non-Jews because it's no sin tam lefkam. No one wants their wheat being soaked in wine. It's therefore no sin tam lefkam. So the Gemara says, Esive Rabba Bar Livai Lirava. So Beged She'ovid Bo Klaim. The Beged, if there's Klaim lost, there were some threads of shatnez that was in the Beged, and you don't know where they are. A Jew cannot sell to a non-Jew. And he can't sell to use as a saddle for a donkey. But you can use it, a shot in his beged, to wrap a mace mitzvah. So again, mace mitzvah kama. So the Gemara says, "Lo v'kol chavim, my time alone. Why can you not sell to a non-Jew this beged of shatnez? Dilma asil lizvuni lisol, because maybe that non-Jew may go ahead and sell to a Jew, because the Jew says, 'I saw Reuven sell to the goy.' So now when the goy sells to Shimon, Shimon says, 'I saw Reuven had it initially.' So he's going to think there's no shatnez in it, and he's going to come to wear it. So just like we have a gzera, you can't sell something aser to a non-Jew, lest the non-Jew sells it to a Jew. Hachanami aser lizvuni liyisrael. So therefore it should be aser as well, the chita that has yai nesach in it, which is aser to eat, aser to drink, you shouldn't be able to sell to a non-Jew, because a non-Jew might go ahead and sell it to a Jew. So you see from here that actually the chita is going to be aser, It's really, even though above they permitted selling the wheat that's soaked in Yai Nesach, it shouldn't be mutter, it should be aser, lest that non-Jew sell it to a Jew. So they write, the Gemara Sahadar, he retracted and says, Shara lemitchinu ulemifinu ulzuninu lovdechavim shlobefne Yisrael. Then he says, you're right, you can't sell it whole, the whole wheat, but what you can do is you could grind it, and then you could bake it, and then sell it to a non-Jew, not in front of a Yid. Why? Because Rashi explains five lines up, lemifinu desu lozavin lu Yisrael meovdechavim, Yisrael is not going to buy from a non-Jew, the pizza on us, you can't buy pas akum. So once you make it as a bread, and then you sell it to a non-Jew, so then the non-Jew is not going to, he can try to, but a Jew is not going to buy bread from a non-Jew. A Jew will buy clothing from a non-Jew, but he won't buy bread from a non-Jew. That's why you're allowed to sell the chita after it's been ground and baked to a non-Jew. There's a couple of fascinating toses to look at here. Look at toses di maskel ha-begit shavid ba-klayim. If a beged, well, there's not much time here. He talks about the Indian, how come a klayim that gets mixed within a beged, why don't we say bitul barof? We have a few strands, it's a couple strands, among the whole beged, it's batel barov, it's going to be batel. And the answer, I'm going to read it outside because we don't have to look inside right now, but Tosa gives the answer that klayim is different because the whole ikur of the iser is through taruvus. That's the whole nature of it. It's mixing things together. It's mostly mixing two different strands together. So it's really completely, it's gonna, the din of bittel doesn't apply because the whole iser is created through Tyroves, so Tyroves cannot undo the Isser. That's the nature of the Kalayim. So then he says, what about Bas B'chalav as well? Bas B'chalav, each one is Isser only through Tyroves. Bas B'chalav mixed together, that's the Isser. So if you're saying whenever the nature of an Isser is that Tyroves coming together, Bittel doesn't apply to Tyroves, so we know Bittel B'shishim does apply to Bas B'chalav, but it shouldn't, since the whole nature is Tyroves. The Tosa says, no, the Bas B'chalav Isser is not one of Tyrovitz, it's an Isser of Bishel. Isser of Bishel is the Isser of Bas B'chalav, not an Isser of Tyrovitz. Granted, a Bishel Bas B'chalav is an Indian of Tyrovitz, but a different type of Isser. It's not really Tyrovitz, it's an Isser of Bishel, and therefore, Bittel does apply to Bas B'chalav. Okay, there's another interesting Tosa here on the bottom of the Maskel of Al Osin. He talks about wrapping a mace in Tzitzis. Isn't that Lorg the Rush? So how could you also wrap a mace in shatnez? Isn't that also loig l'rush? So he says, no, only when it comes to tzitzis, he gives the answer, because tzitzis is shkula kakala torah kula, tzitzis is a very serious mitzvah. So dafka that, that's making fun of a mace, to wrap him in a talus with tzitzis, that's making fun. Shatnez is just a regular law, not a big deal. To wrap him with shatnez would be permitted. But there's a whole big discussion here about this.
And we get so by tzitzis a mace, he's wearing shatnez.
That's part of the discussion here. That's the whole shaila here. There's a shita of some hold, the shmuel hold, and the future. We're going to keep mitzvahs even in Tchias HaMesim, so it's not fair to have him not wear tzitzit or have him wear shatnez. He thinks that he wouldn't hold like this Gemara. But we paskin, apparently, according to, there's at least one opinion of Yochanan that says in the future there's not going to be any mitzvahs, so who cares if he wakes up wearing shatnez, he wakes up not wearing tzitzit, that's not a big deal. But there's a fascinating tosos down here to look at. Let's finish the Gemara here. Gemara says, last five lines, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Yai nesach shenafal gavi anavim, if wine falls on grapes, yadichan, all you have to do is wash them off and then it's fine. Pein mutaros. Vim hayu muvukalos, if they have cracks in them, there's a hole in them, then asiros, they're going to be asir. So the Gemara says, muvukalos in, she muvukalos lo. When it comes to the wine, only if there's a crack will it be asir because the yai nesach. But if there are no cracks, it's mutter. How come above, when we came to the chita, when it came to the wheat, we didn't make any distinction? When Yai Nesach fell in the chita, whether it's muvukalos, whether it wasn't muvukalos, we said it's us across the board. But if the wheat or the kernels are whole, it shouldn't be us, so you should simply just wash them off, and then they should be permitted. And so the Gemara answers that chita is always considered muvukalos. Why? Amar Papa, shiny chiti, hol v'agavet tzirayu, ki muvukalos damyam. Since there's always cracks in the chita, there's always cracks. It's never considered non-muvukos. It's always muvukos. It's always cracked, and therefore Yai Nesach always gets embedded within the chita, and therefore it's going to be aser. So again, there's an interesting conversation within the Rambam about a difference between Yai Nesach and chita, whether or not, when it comes to Yai Nesach, the wine gets absorbed and becomes part of the grapes, as opposed to chita, it seems to be independent. But again, not for now. I need to go daven. But okay, Shkoyach, everyone have a wonderful day.